Do any of you have this war that kind of battle that goes on in your mind? Well, not only do I deal with some of that, but then I got staff members that poke holes in my waders when I'm doing baptism, and so I got that to deal with too. Or maybe I just got really excited during baptism today. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I often battle in my mind between thoughts of faith and thoughts of fear. For me, I want to trust God, and yet I also like to be in control. And maybe you can relate to that. For some of us, one moment we can be full of spiritual confidence. We can be fully aware that God is with us and He is for us. And almost the very next moment, we have this crippling insecurity, and it paralyzes us. Or we feel overwhelming fear, and it holds us back. Listen, church, the mind is a battlefield. And most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. The more I study Scripture, the more I am convinced that most of us, most of life's battles are won or lost in our mind. Today we're going to examine 2 Corinthians 10. 2 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, and I believe Paul was the ultimate warrior. In so many ways, Paul was the ultimate thought warrior. After Paul became a follower of Christ, we see this progression of God renewing Paul's mind. If we started in Romans chapter 7, we read about this battle taking place in Paul's mind. Paul said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. He talks about this struggle, this battle. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to look at this progress in Paul's life, where he began to renew his mind. He learned to wage war against the lies that attack our mind. And we're going to watch as Paul captures wrong thoughts and he replaces them with God's truth. We're going to witness Paul winning the war in his mind. And so the good news, if you're ready for good news, say ready. The good news is that God's word is powerful. God's word can change our life. God's word is what is used to transform us and to renew our mind in truth. So if you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power." That word power refers to the explosive power of God. We are talking about the miraculous power of God. Paul says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Now let's stop. That word stronghold, what does that mean? That's not a word that we use in our everyday vocabulary. So what is a stronghold? It was used to describe a military stronghold. This military stronghold, they often, in the middle of a city, they would take in the middle of that city and they would build this fortress. We're talking about walls that were 20 feet thick. I mean, they wanted to provide a safe place inside this fortress, this stronghold. It's where the military officials would be kept safe during the battle. Friend, the devil, our spiritual enemy, the devil wants to attack your mind and he wants to create strongholds of deception. And let me explain how the devil works. It begins when you and I begin to believe something that is untrue. And we believe this lie, and believing that lie always leads us away from God's calling for our life. And so the enemy, he whispers in our ear a lie, a half-truth, and we believe his lie, and it leads us away from who we are in Christ. So what does the devil do? The devil tries to shape your thinking. He tries to shape your thinking one lie at a time until you become a prisoner of deception. You say, well, what does the devil tell you? He tells you all kinds of things. He tells you you cannot trust people. He tells you that you will never be successful in life. He tries to convince you that you will always be broke. You'll never have a good marriage. The spiritual enemy, he tells you that God doesn't hear your prayers, that God doesn't care about you. Church, the enemy tries to shape our thinking one lie at a time until we become a prisoner of deception. So how do we do battle in our mind? Well, Paul explains in verse 5. He said, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, church, I believe this is such an important, relevant series for many of us. Because as we lean into God's word, I pray that our lives will be transformed. I am trusting God that as we study the scripture, that God is going to use his word to transform our lives and to set us free. I'm asking the Lord to set us free from the enemy who is seeking to rob us of joy and peace and purpose. And so I want you to do something. I want you to look at the person next to you this morning and say, I'm getting my mind right. Getting my mind right. If you're watching online, put that in the chat. I'm getting my mind right. Today we're launching this new series. It's called The Battle for the Mind. And there are three truths that I want to share with you about winning this battle. And the first truth is this. My life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. My life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. Science confirms what the Bible teaches. And that is that what I think eventually comes out in my life. Friend, I think science and scripture agree with this life principle. I've done enough counseling to know that many of the problems that people experience are related to wrong thought processes. I see it sometimes with relational challenges. I see it sometimes with eating disorders, sometimes with anxiety, and even some addictions. All of these things can be a direct result of toxic thinking. And so at Friendship, we believe God's word is true. And Proverbs 23:7 puts it this way. It says, for as he thinks in his heart, what? So is he. So scripture and science seem to agree that my life is always moving in the direction of my strongest thoughts. A second truth that helps win the battle for the mind is that my life is often a reflection of the thoughts I think. In other words, what we think determines who we become. Now, let me help you flesh this out just a bit. If you are a person who tends to think that you cannot do something or that you don't have what it takes, friend, if you think you can't, then you probably won't, right? I mean, that's just how it works. But if you think that you can, then by the grace of God, you probably will. If you dwell on your problems, if you feel the world is bad and only getting worse, then your problems can at times overwhelm you. But instead, if you choose to walk by faith, then you're going to find some solutions to your problems as your faith begins to rise. Friend, if you always feel like you're a victim, then what will you become? You become a victim. But if you look at life and say, I'm not a victim, I'm an overcomer. By the power of Christ within me, I'm an overcomer, then you will overcome. So the life I have is a reflection of the thoughts I think, then we would do well to stop and think about what we think about. We need to consider what goes through our mind on a regular basis. So I want to encourage you this morning. I want to lead you through doing what we would call a thought audit. It's important for us to audit our thoughts, important for us to think about what we think about. Why? Because the life we have is a reflection of the thoughts we think. And so let me share with you three categories just to kind of help you through this thought audit. And basically what we're doing is we're looking to contrast mindsets. And here's the first set of questions. You'll find these in your sermon notes. Are you characterized by worried thoughts, talking about thoughts of anxiety and fear? Or are your thoughts typically characterized by being full of peace? Now, if you start on the left side of the scale in your notes, do you wake up and have your mind drift toward fear? Do you become hyper-focused on what could go wrong that day? Do you find yourself worried about your kids or worried about your health or worried about our nation? Do you find yourself consumed by worried thoughts? Or would you say, you know, I find myself casting my cares upon God. And when I cast my cares on Him, He gives me this peace that surpasses all understanding. Do you regularly sense God's presence and His goodness and His Spirit, even when things aren't moving the way that you want them to move. So go ahead and audit your thoughts. Where do you fall on that scale? Would you be on the left-hand side and say, you know, my thoughts are really gripped by fear and worry? Or would you say, no, I'm more characterized by peaceful thoughts? Let's move on to the second category, a second set of questions. Do your thoughts drift toward the negative, or do they drift toward the positive? In other words, when you wake up, do you find yourself negative and critical of others, or do you drift toward the positive? Do you assume the worst instead of believing the best, or do you wake up with positive faith? Things become difficult, you acknowledge that Christ is with you and that Christ will help you overcome. Even when things are difficult, do you express gratitude to God, who you know is working in all things to bring good for those who love Him, those who are called according to His purpose? How would you characterize your thoughts? Again, circle the number on this scale that best represents where you line up. Are you more focused on the negative or on the positive? And then one more category when it comes to what you think about. Are your thoughts worldly? In other words, are they centered toward the things of this world that are temporary? Or do they drift toward that which lasts forever? Your thoughts may gravitate toward the worldly side if you're primarily concerned about with what you have and what you wear, more concerned about what you look like and who liked your post on social media. Are you more concerned with what others think about you? Or are you more concerned about what God thinks about you? Are your thoughts more worldly? Or do they drift toward the eternal? Do you recognize that God has given you a life to steward? And that you have spiritual gifts and you want to use those gifts, focusing on His kingdom, investing in the kingdom of God, so that when everything else around you burns away, that your life will count eternally. What characterizes your thoughts? Are they more worldly or eternal? Remember that what we think about matters more than we imagine. And it matters because what comes into your mind comes out in your life. Our lives, they are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. The life we have, it is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. And then a third truth is that I cannot have a positive life when I have a negative mind. Friend, it doesn't matter what you do, what you have, what you buy, where you live, you cannot have a positive life when you have a negative mind. You say, why is that? Because your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And so I have a question for you this morning. If your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, are you excited about the direction your thoughts are taking you? When you think about that which you're consumed with, the place that you go back to in your thought life over and over again, are you excited about the direction that that's taking you? Is that a yes? Or would the answer be no? I'm not excited. Well, the next few weeks, I want to lead you on a journey as we experience God renewing our mind. And today, we're laying a foundation that we're going to build upon in the weeks to come, so that we can win the battle in our minds, that we can change our thinking so that God can change our lives. And there are two tasks that are necessary for renewing your mind. And these tasks, they are foundational. We're going to be building upon them in the weeks to come. But the first task is this: identify the biggest stronghold holding me back. That's where we need to begin. Identify the biggest stronghold holding me back. Remember, a stronghold is anything that keeps you a prisoner, anything that keeps you locked up by a lie. What is the biggest mental stronghold that is holding you back? Now, you might think over and over again, I'm not good enough. Or you might say, you know, my past is too bad for God to use me. The people around me, I can't trust the people around me. Maybe you struggle, I'm always going to battle my weight, or I'm never going to be good with money, or I'm never going to be close to God. I'll never have a job that really is fulfilling and satisfying in life. Maybe it's relationships. My relationships are always going to break down. Or maybe you're thinking, why do I only date psychos? I mean, maybe that's simple for you. What is it that you think over and over again? Listen, once you identify your negative thoughts, you can embrace the reality that your negative thoughts are changing the chemical makeup of your brain. Science proves that every thought creates a neurochemical change in your body. When you think a positive thought, you get this surge of neurotransmitters releasing a legal and very exciting drug. It's called dopamine. It's legal. It's powerful. And every time your brain drops some dopamine, you get this hit, this thrill. Someone you like and respect, they comment on your latest Instagram post, and immediately there's just this release of dopamine. Oh, that feels good. Somebody comes up and says, girl, your hair looks so good today. Dopamine. It's just that positive surge of release. Bridget texts me and says, wish you were here. Dopamine. I mean, immediately. It's how that works for us. Science also confirms that the more you think a thought, it's easier to think that thought again. So once you think a thought, you're actually creating these neural pathways in your brain. And church, we literally have billions of neural pathways in our brain. The more often we think a thought, the more the connection is there. Makes it easier to think that thought again. And before long, whatever we've been thinking about really becomes our default thought. And it becomes a stronghold. Listen, if you believe a lie long enough, your life will be impacted by that lie as if it were true. Let's imagine this. I walk outside my house and I'm going to the mailbox. And so if I go out the front door and I walk across the grass to the mailbox, if I do that for 100 straight days, what happens to the grass? What happens? There's a path, right? I create a path from my door to the mailbox. The more I take those steps, the more that path is created. The same thing happens with our mind. If for 100 days straight, you think on a lie, you begin to believe the lie, and you create these neural pathways through your brain. And so over the next few weeks, with God's help, we're going to renew our minds. We're going to stay off the old path. Because if we stay off that old path for 100 days, what happens? The grass grows back, right? And the resistance gets stronger. And as we stay off that old path, we begin to change the way that we think, and we forge a new pathway in our brain toward the truth. And the truth is what sets us free. Romans 12:2 confirms what science suggests. Paul said it like this. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Paul says, look, don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to the wrong ways of thinking, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So friend, we need to stay off the destructive, negative paths, and we need to create new paths of truth. Now, I don't know how this is going to play out in your life, but maybe your path is that you've had a frustrating day at work. Things didn't go well. You walk in the door at home, and everything just hits all at once. You walk through the door, and the kids need help with homework, and your wife says, everybody else in the neighborhood's mowed, and our yard hadn't gotten mowed yet, and you just feel like everything's coming in around you. Too much to do. Not enough time to get it all done. Now, your old path says yell at the wife and kids, right? Share with them. Show them that you're frustrated. But what if we created a new path? We don't want to go down that old path. We want to go down a new one. So what instead if we captured that thought? And you might capture that thought by counting to 10. Some of you may need to count to 110. For a few of you, 1,010. But you change that thought. You take that thought captive. Or maybe you capture the thought by saying a prayer. And instead of raising your voice, you walk a different path. And instead you tell your wife, look, I'm sorry, but today has been a difficult day. Can I have a hug? And immediately you change the tone because you've changed the path. Or maybe you feel bad about yourself. And when you feel bad about yourself, there is a direct path to the freezer. And it's ice cream, right? So you've had a bad day, you head to the ice cream, and you eat the ice cream, and then what happens? You feel even worse because I can't believe I ate the whole thing, right? If you want to create a new path, instead of walking to the freezer, why don't you walk down the street and take a walk? When you exercise, you get some dopamine. You feel better about yourself. You create a new path. Some of you, when you get bored, what do? You pick up your phone. Immediately, you begin scrolling through social media. You look at your friends and what's going on in their life, and you say, man, their life is so much better than mine. My life is boring. I never do anything. Look at the amazing things that they do. And so we go down this path. But what would happen instead of getting on social media? What if we open God's Word? What if we let God's Word renew our mind? We'd be different, wouldn't we? We'd be in a different spot. Listen, if you want to think in a different way, then you've got to forge a new path in your brain. Remember that the more you walk that new path, the easier it becomes to travel. And the more you stay off the old path, the harder it is to think those same thoughts again and again. And so your first assignment is to identify the biggest stronghold that is holding you back. Now, I'm not asking you to attack all 77 of them this morning. Don't do that. Just choose one. What's the one stronghold that is holding me back? Identify what that is. What is that for you? It might be that you wrongly believe that you are unlovable. It might be that you feel helpless and hopeless and worthless. It might be that you look at life and say, my life is pointless. But let me urge you, identify that stronghold. You have to identify and name it because you cannot defeat what you can't define. So identify your biggest stronghold. And then a second foundational truth is to name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. See, why does truth matter? I'll tell you why it matters. It matters because John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free. What does truth do? Truth sets you free. Lies put us deeper into spiritual bondage. Friends, some of us are living life based on a lie. And my prayer is that you will come to know the truth because it's God's truth that sets you free. When I was in high school, we had a large youth group at the church that I attended, and we hung out all the time. It seems like every weekend or so there was something going on, and we loved to be together. And so one of those occasions, we were hanging out at the church, and we told one of the seventh grade boys that we were going to play hide and seek. So why don't you jump in this closet over here, and you count, we're going to go hide, and you come find us. He said, sounds good. He jumped in the closet. I grabbed a chair and tried to stick the chair up under the door handle so that he couldn't get out. Well, the chair didn't fit. It didn't work out. So I just took my foot, stuck my foot next to the door. I said, look, there's no sense in you trying to get out. We've got you locked in. You're not going to be able to get out. And he didn't even try to open the door. He whined a little bit. He said, this isn't fair. Let me out. But we didn't. And so about 15 minutes later, we went into the church gym, and we forgot this guy was still in the closet. And so we went and played basketball and other things, and we went back down towards the closet, and we heard this noise coming from the ceiling in the hallway. What in the world did he do? He had climbed up some shelving in that closet, removed the ceiling tiles, and he was trying to get up over the hallway so that he could get out. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to make his escape. He was trying to make his escape because he believed a lie. He thought the door was locked. An unlocked door held him prisoner. Now, I believe some of you don't have what God wants you to have. Some of you are not living the life that God wants you to live, and the reason is because you are stuck behind an unlocked door. Friend, my prayer is that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. 2 Corinthians 10:5, Paul points out that whatever the stronghold is, whatever it is that's holding you a prisoner in your mind, he said, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive, we're not a prisoner to our thoughts. We are to take our thoughts captive and we make them obedient to Christ. So whatever that stronghold is, we take it captive. In the original language, that word, take captive, it means to attack with a sword, to attack with a spear. I love this. I love God's word. And when you talk about the weapons that we fight with, they're not weapons of this world, right? Ephesians 6 talks about the spiritual armor. What do we have? We have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness, shield of the faith, the belt of truth. We have the shoes that are prepared with the gospel. It's worth noting that all of these are defensive weapons, right? Church, we have only one offensive weapon. You know what that weapon of offense is? What is it? It's the sword of the Spirit. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is the Word of God that sets us free. It is the powerful and living Word of God that is sharper than any double-edged sword that cuts away the lies of the enemy. So, friend, we must let God's Word take captive the lies that have held us hostage. So what is your stronghold? What is the dominant lie that your spiritual enemy has tried to use to destroy your faith? What is the lie that he's using to attempt to kill all the relationships in your life? What is the devil using to rob you of the intimacy that God wants you to have with him? We've got to identify that stronghold. And for me, the stronghold I've been attacking with God's word is one that I've wrestled with since I was a kid. And the lie has always been that I believe that I'm never enough, that I'm inadequate. I'll never preach a good enough sermon. I'll never be righteous enough to lead the church. If I give my best to the church, then somehow I'm coming up short with Bridget and the kids. If I give my best at home, somehow I'm not being all that I need to be for the church that God has entrusted for me to shepherd. And so I struggle. I struggle thinking that I can't live up to everyone's expectations. I can't meet with everyone I need to meet with. I can't visit everyone that I need to visit. I can't even call everyone that I need to call. And so this tension, this wrestling, I can't get it all done. I'm not enough. And the challenge, I'll admit, the challenge with this lie is that there is some truth in it, which makes it even easier to believe. Because of my sinfulness, because of my limitations, there is a lot of me that will never be enough. And yet, thankfully, God's word says I don't have to rely on me. Because there is a greater power inside of me that is absolutely more than enough. And so here's my truth from the word of God. This is how I take captive the lies of the enemy. 2 Peter 1:3 says this: God's divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. And so for me, I've personalized this to say that God's mighty power, he has given me everything I need. He has given me the time to do what he has called me to do. God has given me the strength to do what he has called me to do. When I am weak, his strength is made perfect in me. His living word does the work that I cannot do. His power is there for me when I don't have what it takes. God has given me everything that I need for life and for godliness. And so when the enemy begins to sell me lies, I try to take that thought captive and I replace the lie with the truth of God's word. And God's word says, look, you've got everything you need pertaining to life and godliness. It is the truth of God that sets me free. So what is the driving lie that has held you back? And what is the truth of God that will set you free? Maybe you think, I can't get it all done. I don't have enough strength. Then your truth is Philippians 4:13. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so you take the lie of the enemy and you've replaced it with God's word, Philippians 4:13. When I'm weak, he makes me strong. Or maybe you don't like the way that you look, and that is a lie that is holding you prisoner. Friend, the truth of God, Psalm 139:14 says, I give thanks to you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Friend, do you realize that God has made you fearfully and wonderfully? God has given you spiritual gifts so that you can make a difference in this world. And so when the enemy lies to you, you replace his lie with the truth of God's word. When the enemy says you're a victim and that's all you'll ever be, no, Romans 8:37 says, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You see, God's word, God's truth says, I am not who others say that I am. I'm not who the lies in my mind say that I am. But I am who God says I am. And so we take that lie that we struggle with, this lie that puts us in a prison. We take the lie, we identify it, and then we replace it with the truth of God's word. We've got to seek the truth because the truth is what sets us free. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. What comes in your mind comes out in your life. You cannot have a positive, faith-filled life when you have a negative, fear-filled mind. So my question is, what will you do about it? Well, we have to learn to capture the lies from the enemy. We've got to name the lie, and then we replace the lie with God's truth. Friend, don't stay locked in a prison when Jesus holds the key to set you free. Maybe you need to make your way down to the altar this morning and ask God to help you stay off the old paths of lies and destruction. Maybe you need to ask Him to help you create a new path, a path of truth. You might need to pray that God will help you renew your mind, change your thinking through the power of His Word so that your life will be transformed. Maybe for others today, the biggest lie that is impacting you right now is that you have a distorted view of God. Maybe for years you've just had this wrong view of God. You thought that God was angry with you. God was mad at you. You thought God could never love you after all that you've done. You may feel as if you are used up goods. No way that God could love me. Let me help you replace those lies with truth. Let me tell you about who God is. Let me tell you how God sees you. Our God is a loving heavenly Father. And friend, He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Even if you've done some really shameful things, there is nothing that you could do that would make God love you any less. Or maybe you're just on the opposite side. You're doing your best to be perfect. Well, friend, there's nothing you could do to make God love you anymore. God simply loves you. And He loves you so much that He became like you in the person of His Son, Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He was perfect in every way. And on a cross 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave His life as the innocent and perfect sacrifice for you and for me. Jesus died for you. He paid the price for your sin. And then God the Father raised His Son from the dead so that all of our sins could be forgiven. Friend, that's how much God loves you. No matter what you've done, He loves you and He wants you to know His love. So if you feel distant from God, friend, it's time that you take a new path, a path that leads directly to God. Would you turn away from that old sinful path? And would you run toward Jesus this morning? Would you surrender your life to Him? Because friend, when you do, God will forgive your sin. And He will show you His love and He will make you new. And friend, if that is the desire of your heart, if you're ready to receive this new life, then I'm going to encourage you right where you are, you just talk to God about that. You just say something like this: Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And God, today, I change the way that I think about this life that I'm living. I don't want to go down that old path that leads to sin. God, I want to walk down a new path. I want to know You. I want to serve You. God, with all of my heart, I confess that You are the Son of God who died for me and rose again the third day. As I surrender my life to You, God, make me new from the inside out. God, thank You for this gift, the gift of eternal life. Change me and use me. And the greatest need for some this morning is to repent of your sin and to place your faith in Jesus. If you meet me down front in just a moment when the congregation begins to sing, I'd love to help you do that this morning. I'd love to answer your questions. I'd love to pray with you. For others, maybe the need is baptism. You've yet to publicly identify yourself as a follower of Christ. We can take care of that. We want you to be obedient to that. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of the friendship family. Friend, whatever the Lord is leading you to do, I urge you, don't leave this place today until you have said yes to Him. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank You for the joy of salvation. Father, the joy of knowing You and serving You and worshiping You. God, I thank You for Your word. We know that Your word is truth, and although the enemy tries to sell us lie after lie after lie, Lord, we know that it is Your truth that sets us free. God, we acknowledge there are times that we have listened and we have believed a lie and it has held us prisoner. It has caused us to fall short of who we are in Christ. Father, we acknowledge that this morning. We confess that. And we pray that you would help us as we identify that lie, that stronghold. But Father, you would help us to replace that lie with your truth. That we could take the thought captive. That we would be obedient to your Son, Jesus. Lord, we need your help. We need your word to renew our minds. And so, God, we ask that you would help us. And as we continue to lean into your word over these next few weeks, God, change us. Change us, we pray. Father, I lift up those this morning who do not know you. God, for those who are without a relationship with you, I pray that today, just like the Apostle Paul, I pray that the scales would fall off their eyes. And Father, that they could see. That they could see your love, and hope, and purpose, and peace, and joy. Father, all the things that we're searching for, we find them in a personal relationship with you. So God, I pray for the drawing of your Holy Spirit. I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And we ask this in the most powerful name that we know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.